Fix.
AM 560, The Answer. From the local youth hockey rink to the ultimate stage of professional ice hockey arenas, you are on the air with In the Crease and your host, Kenny McCutton, professional ice hockey skating and skills coach, bringing you into the arena and into the world of ice hockey. Brought to you by Coco 5, hydration and performance powered by all-natural coconut water and Garden Fresh Market, the world's best produce delivered fresh to their stores 7 days a week. And now, In the Crease. With your host, Kenny McCutton.
You are on the air and in the crease with your host, Kenny McCutton, NHL and AHL professional skating and skills coach. I am pleased to have as my guest tonight, Harvey Wittenberg, the longtime public address announcer of the Chicago Blackhawks. Welcome to In the Crease, Harvey.
Glad to be here, Kenny.
I really, really appreciate you being here. You started your career very early in radio. It seemed like you wanted to know what you wanted to get into right out of college.
Actually, right out of grammar school.
Is that right?
Yep. I wanted to be a sports announcer or a sports writer.
And you wanted to get into play-by-play and the whole bit?
Yes.
Did you know, I got to throw a little something at you. I got a feeling you may not know this because it was before your time. Did you know that the Blackhawks were on WIND from 1943 to 48?
I knew they were on WIND. I didn't know all the years. When I saw my first game, and that's when I started following on radio. And in 1948, the third period of the home games were on television with Whispering Joe Wilson doing the play-by-play. Third period only, it was on Channel 4, WBKB, which stood for the Bellman and Katz movie theater chain.
Wow. And Bob Elson was doing the games for those years that I was talking about from 43 through 48.
Bob Elson, and later when Johnny Gottschalk became public relations director after his playing career and his coaching career with the Hawks, he was doing the color. And they did the broadcasts from the old organ loft on the east end of the Chicago Stadium.
Johnny Gottschalk doing play-by-play, player, GM too, right, for a short time?
No, never GM. He was coach. He actually played on both the 34 and the 38 Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I do know
the first
that.
Two Cup teams.
What was he like as an announcer?
A grizzled veteran.
Is that right?
Johnny, actually my first radio broadcast was in the 1959-60 Stanley Cup playoffs against Montreal. And I did the color with Johnny Gottschalk, and he did the play-by-play.
And he ended up being like a president of a quarry company, didn't he, in Elmhurst, years after his playing career?
Yeah, he was involved with that. And, the Blackhawk offices were in the Manor House Coffee offices on LaSalle and Ohio Street.
Okay.
That's where their offices were before the stadium. And, of course, it was Major McLaughlin who brought the team to Chicago.
So here Gottschalk is doing play-by-play, but you wanted to get into play-by-play, but you ended up doing color.
Right, because Harvey Wittenberg's name at that point was not a household word. So.
I think you worked with one of the greatest play-by-play announcers of all time in Lloyd Pettit. He was from 70 to 72, you were with him, correct?
Yes, we were on WMAQ at that time.
And would you agree with me, one of the greatest of all time?
Yes, I think Pat Foley emulates some of what he did listening to Lloyd Pettit.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up listening to Lloyd Pettit with my little transistor radio like every little kid did. But my two favorites as a kid was Dan Kelly and Lloyd Pettit.
Two great announcers, and also the Montreal announcer kind of emulated to the French and the English ones. And
is that right?
Yeah, they used to listen to the games on the radio.
Pettit, he traveled from Milwaukee for every game.
In the early 70s, because he left WGN on a full-time basis. And actually, Lloyd started out on television doing color with Gottschalk doing the play-by-play.
Mm, okay.
And then when Johnny left the Blackhawk organization, Lloyd took over the play-by-play.
I always believe that the two guys that I just mentioned, Pat Foley's the same way, they're ahead of the play. That's what makes them so great.
Yes, and there's a big difference in radio and TV. In radio, you're painting the
The
picture, and in TV, you're letting the picture carry it.
In 1971, Jean Béliveau carries the Stanley Cup for his last time, the 16th Cup for Montreal, and you worked with Pettit in that game, correct?
Yes, I worked with Lloyd, and one of the greatest seven-game series of all time. Two of them in that thing. One was the New York Rangers series,
just
which
prior.
We barely got out of. There were three overtime games in that series. And then we had the ones in Montreal, which I woke up the next day. I couldn't see how we lost that game. And talking to guys like Makita and Palat and those guys that were in that game, not Pierre had been gone, and Nestorinko, they couldn't believe they lost that game.
Yeah, I had Jane Makita in last week, and I asked her the question whether or not that series and that final game haunted her father. And she wasn't quite sure, but I told her that I know that it haunted Cliff Coral and Keith Magnuson for many years.
And Bobby.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? I didn't know that. I've never read about that. Yeah. Dennis Hall and Danny O'Shea opened up the scoring. I was 10 years old up in the second balcony. Probably the loudest I've ever heard that building in my life.
Well, the acoustics in the old building are just, I have to say the new United Center is coming close. But the United Center is 2.5 times the size of the old stadium.
Okay, yeah. I want to stick with that game, the seventh game. It was a game of emotion, up and down. I think the turn of the tide was the 90-foot slap shot by Lemaire.
Yes, which Tony lost, and then Nestorinko was considered one of your better defensive forwards with about 1.5 minutes left in the second period. Didn't check Henri Richard, and Richard got the tying goal.
Mm-hmm.
But the game, to me, shifted before that. The Hawks had a 2-on-none breakaway on Dryden.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Coral and Chico Mackey, and they missed the net. And right after that, Bobby Hull hit the crossbar.
Correct.
So the score at that time was 2-0. Chico or Cliff score, it's 3-0. Bobby's shot goes in, it's 3-0. It's a different game.
And the famous cross-ice pass to Jimmy Papin, where he rakes it in and Dryden goes from post to post.
Right. And right at the buzzer, Papin hit the crossbar.
Sticking with Lloyd Pettit, when did he retire?
He retired actually in the mid-70s, driving down and having his driver drive him down from Milwaukee for every game. Kind of it was difficult. And then the stations switched stations and had a brief set before Pat Foley became the play-by-play announcer. Ron Oakes, there was another announcer in there.
Jim West.
Jim West, who was doing the TV and later radio. After Lloyd left, so till Pat Foley was discovered up in Michigan doing the,
it was
IHL then. It wasn't AHL.
I think the Flint Generals in the IHL. Other people that you might have worked with, Lou Boudreau?
Yes, I actually, I replaced Lou. It was near the start of the season, and his son-in-law, Denny McLean, got into trouble, and Lou was doing interviews all day, and of course I was doing the public address announcing at the stadium, and they called me and they said, Lou's got laryngitis, he can't talk, and we need you to do the PA, and we're going to give you a live mic that when Lloyd will send it down to you on the goals and everything, because I was sitting next to the official score in the penalty box, and I would get the goals before I made the announcement, because in those days we didn't make goal announcements until there was a stoppage in play.
Hmm. Another announcer that you might have worked with, Arnie Harris?
Arnie was a producer. Arnie was not an announcer.
Oh, okay.
Arnie produced the radio and TV for many years.
You became the public address announcer in 1960, is that correct?
I was the backup in 1960s. The Bob Fosters passed away a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually took over really the start. Bob got promoted to open up a bureau in Washington, D.C. for the Tribune organization. And in 1962, it was right in January, right at the first of the year, that's when I took over.
And you took it to 2002?
Right.
Was that some difficult times towards the end for you?
Yes, I've been filling in from time
I know
to time
that, yeah.
When Gene Hahn is not available.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do internet on a regular basis on the Blackhawk webpage with a feature, and then I do This Week in Hawk History, which they run once in a while. So
you saw many great Blackhawk players. Name a few players that you saw the Blackhawks play against that you were thrilled to watch live.
Well, when I wrote my book, the first time I interviewed Scotty Bowman, who was the all-time winningest coach. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's going to match his mm-hmm. win total of Stanley Cups and wins. And I asked him to name the best players he's ever seen. Mm-hmm. And he gave me the answer, which is the right answer. You got to go by decades and by eras because the game has changed. And, I mean, of course, the Blackhawks, I mean, the banners that are standing in the United Center now of the all-time Blackhawk greats, but guys like Béliveau, Bobby Orr, you know, I'm going to miss a lot along the line. Ken Dryden, I mean, Doug Harvey, a defenseman from Montreal for many years, the Rocket Richard, I mean, Gordie Howe, you can name 100 and, yep. and miss another 100.
We will be back in a few minutes with Harvey Wittenberg. You are listening to In the Crease.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Maria Arnold with your look at traffic on the inbound Kennedy at Chicago. Report of an accident, and we're already seeing delays traveling inbound on the Kennedy at Chicago. IDOT crews headed to the scene. In Mount Prospect, there's an accident with entrapment at Albert and Bussey. On the west side, an earlier crash at Lake and Hamlin. In Elgin, traffic signals malfunctioning at State and Highland. There's fire activity in Alsip at the 3800 block of Walter Lane. In Romeoville, a fire investigation at the 700 block of Evergreen Court. On the south side, police on scene at 81st and Muskegon. There's a Metra delay on the UP West line. Train number 518 is due in Chicago at 11:50. It's running 30 minutes late. Chicago weather currently 52 degrees with light rain. Tomorrow, the high 60 with showers and breezy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Sean Hannity believes Hillary Clinton has an uphill battle.
I don't think it's going to quite unfold the way Hillary wants, and I think it's going to be more difficult than she anticipates. Let's start with the fact and assume here for a minute that if she wins the Democratic nomination, she's going to be running now for a third Democratic presidential term. She will be tied directly to the record of Obama.
The Sean Hannity Show. Afternoons at 2, right before Joel Walsh at 5, on AM 560. The Answer.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. A deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit GardenFreshMarket.com to find a location near you.
20 years of credit counseling and debt management services. More than 36,000 program members freed from credit card debt. Nearly $100 million saved in high interest and finance charges. It's Trinity's 20th anniversary, and these are just a few of the milestones we're celebrating as we begin our third decade of helping people become debt-free for keeps. Did you know that members who complete our program save on average more than $20,000 in interest?
My name is Mike. From the very first phone call, Trinity brought us relief by stopping all the late fees and collections calls, greatly reducing our interest and consolidating our bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Now we're on track to save nearly $17,000 in finance charges. Happy 20th anniversary, Trinity. Thanks for helping so many save so much.
And Trinity can help you, too. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
AM 560, The Answer.
We are back, and I am Kenny McCudden with In the Crease Hockey Radio. This part of our program is brought to you by my partners at Coco 5 All-Natural Coconut Water. Developed by a team of professional NHL sports medicine experts, Coco 5 is your healthy hydration drink alternative. My guest standing in the crease is Harvey Wittenberg, the author of Tales from the Chicago Blackhawks Locker Room. What years, Harvey, were the most fun for you to write about?
Well, I traveled with the team in the 60s and then again a little bit in the early 70s. So you get to know the players when you're traveling with them. So a lot of them were joking around. Dennis Hall was always a big joker on the trips. Him and Doug Jarrett, they did a comedy routine most of the time on the trip. And, of course, in the early days, the veterans in the team always kind of razzled the rookies and snipe hunts and things like that and made fun of them. And even Dennis Savard, the first time he went to Vegas, they were kidding him around. And then, of course, the standard thing is when you go out to dinner or lunch, they stick the rookies with the tab, which they're usually not prepared for.
I think that's still happening.
Yeah.
But it's thousands of dollars now.
Right, yeah. When Phil Esposito signed with the Blackhawks, he was making $6,500 a year, and he was asking Tommy Ivan for a $500 raise. And Phil told me, if you don't like this job, you can get another one for $500 difference.
And since you're talking about Tommy Ivan, he was brought over from Detroit in the 50s, and he was supposed to change the culture, and he did.
Yes, the owners, Jim Norris and Arthur Wirtz at that time, they wanted to change the culture. I mean, the Hawks hadn't made the playoffs for like 6 years, and there was no farm system that to build off of. Tommy Ivan actually was Gordie Howe's first pro coach in 1945 in Omaha.
That's correct.
And Gordie said, that he signed for a $500 bonus, and to sign, and his first salary, his first year as a pro, was $15,000, and that was big money.
Yeah, I used to love to go to Tommy Ivan's office in the hallway with the black door with no sign on the outside, and if I ever had to deliver him something as a young man, whether it be from Skip Thayer or Louis Varga, I would spend an awful lot of time in that room with him, talking to him about the Red Wings. And my guest next week is Jerry Sawchuk, the son of Terry Sawchuk, and I've got some things to tell Jerry that Tommy Ivan used to say about his dad, so I'm interested in with that. Did you have a close relationship with Tommy Ivan?
Yes, I did. Actually, like I said, when I first got the Blackhawks on the air in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 59-60 season, I was a young news writer for another radio station, and my dream was to do the Blackhawk games on the radio. The Hawks hadn't been on the radio for 4 or 5 years because they hadn't made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pursued Tommy Ivan all year and a radio station to do the games, and sales was not my forte.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually tracked down a beer company that gave me a commitment. And the Hawks were I couldn't get him on during the regular season. And again, I was working full-time at another radio station that wasn't going to do hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last game of the season was in Boston. And since there are no cell phones in those days, I sent a telegram to the Boston Garden because I didn't know what hotel Tommy Ivan was staying at. And I was living with my parents. And I get a phone call after the game that he said, Mr. Norris, Jim Norris, gave me permission to do the playoff games. So the first thing I did Monday morning, it was a Sunday night, and the games were starting Thursday in Montreal. I called this advertiser who gave me a commitment, and then it was a beer company, and he said, well, if you get my beer sold in the stadium, I'll sponsor the games. Mm-hmm. Well, I was shattered. I had made arrangements with AM 1000 to do the games, and I didn't know anything about advertising. Mm-hmm. So I had a high school buddy of mine who was working for an ad agency, and I was working 4 a.m. to noon shift at WLS Radio sign-on news, and they said, come over after work. And we literally went through the yellow pages to find an advertiser to sponsor the games that were going to be on in 3 nights. And a season ticket holder, I forget his name, he was the president of Republic Savings and Loan at 63rd and Kedzie, they're no longer around, he bought the whole package. Unfortunately, we got swept 4 games in that series, but I walked into the Montreal Forum for the first time, and I was going to do the color with Johnny Gottsleeg, and Johnny was doing the play-by-play. He was the PR director for the Hawks at that time. and Danny Gallivan was the play Montreal Canadiens and Rene Lecavier for the, on the French version. And I was sitting between those two gentlemen. And first game we did, it went to overtime. Bill Hay hit the crossbar just before they and we lost in overtime. So between periods, Johnny Gatsby says, well, let's do an interview. And Gump Worsley, who was goalie for the Rangers, and Don Simmons, the Rangers for the Boston Bruins, they were sitting on the catwalk at the Montreal Forum. And so they said, Johnny says, go over and ask him which one you do an interview with. So I'm going over there, and I don't know these gentlemen. I'm just a young kid in my 20s. And I'm listening to Gump Worsley, and every other word out of his mouth was four letters. I said, I'll put him on the radio, and that'll be the end of my radio career. But Gump was fine.
Tommy Ivan brings in Billy Ray, and that was part of the culture change. He seemed like a loved coach.
He was a player's coach. I mean, Billy was a player. He had a short stint with Toronto as a coach before he came to the Hawks. But when Tommy took over, going back a little bit, when Norris and Wirtz brought him over from Detroit, and you're talking about you're going to have an interview with the Sawchuk's family next week. Glenn Hall had a fabulous career. He was Rookie of the Year with Detroit. But Detroit didn't feel that he performed in the playoffs as well as they'd like to. So that made him available. Sawchuk had been traded to Boston, and they got him back, and that made Glenn Hall expendable. So that's how the Hawks got Glenn Hall.
Let's talk about the trade in 1967 with the Bruins. It was considered a poor trade, sending away Phil Esposito, Stanfield, and Hodge. What did you think about that trade?
That was one of the worst trades in a way. The twist of that story was that the Tommy Ivan was dealing with the general manager, I think it was Henry Sinden, and he had to get permission from Wirtz to make the deal. And what happened was the goalie that was supposed to come over on that deal was Jerry Cheevers.
I read that in your book, which I had no idea about.
Right. And last minute, Sinden switched and said, he's giving you Jack Norris. And Tommy didn't want to go back to Mr. Wirtz and say, we made it, there's a change. And of course, Jack Norris, he played a handful of games, but the upshot of that bad deal was we got Tony Esposito.
That's right, which is a story in itself. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I knew he came over from Montreal, but I didn't know they picked him up for $25,000, which was a great move from Tommy Ivan.
That was the waiver price, and the reason that they got him, because Tony had played a few games for Montreal and did fairly well, but the Montreal coach at that time, I forget.
Claude Ruel, maybe?
Claude Ruel. He didn't like rookies. So they decided they had picked up Gump Worsley.
And Vachon was there.
Yeah. And so they figured they went with that, and that made Tony Esposito expendable. Because here was a guy who played college up in northern Michigan.
So they lose one Esposito, gain another. And I've read going back to that trade with the Bruins with we got Pitt Martin, which was a heck of a player in Chicago history. But Bobby Hull had mentioned many times that definitely was the worst trade he had ever seen, losing Phil Esposito, just in points alone.
Well, Tommy, and I talked to Tommy extensively about that deal, and the thing was that Phil had 20 goal seasons. You're playing on a line with Bobby Hull and Murray Balfour at one time. And the thing was that in the playoffs, Phil did not have good playoffs. He had two bad playoff seasons in a row that he didn't really excel. And that's the reason why Tommy made the deal.
And then with Tony Esposito playing his whole entire career with Chicago, I'm sure Montreal kicked themselves over that one.
Yes, although in 71 and
and
73, it panned out for Montreal.
That 73 team's not spoke about too much with the Blackhawks. On paper, they weren't as good as in 71.
They weren't expected to get to the finals. And the thing is that Bobby Hull had already jumped to the World Hockey Association. And how do you replace a 50-goal scorer?
No, and you don't. And that changed a little bit of the fan base there for many years. And obviously the pay salaries went up once Bobby Hull left in both leagues.
Every player in the NHL should thank Bobby Hull for that move.
It's like Arnold Palmer with golf. We will be back in the crease with Harvey Wittenberg and your host, Kenny McCutton, after this break.
So in the last few weeks, you may have found yourself switching back and forth between radio stations, not quite sure where you should be spending your time. Yeah, well, we're here to clear up any confusion. There's just one radio station in this town talking about the stories that matter, from what's happening in Washington to what's happening on Wall Street to what's happening right here in Chicago. And that station is this one, AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio. I'm Steve Rappaport. A boat packed with hundreds of migrant workers capsizing off the coast of Libya. 28 survivors and 24 bodies pulled from the water so far.
20,000 migrants have risked their lives to reach Italy this way so far this year. That's fewer than for the same period last year, but the numbers of deaths has rocketed ninefold.
Italy has been calling for help from the rest of Europe for months now as it struggles to deal with this crisis.
Sky News correspondent Enda Brady. Tornadoes reportedly touching down in and around Tallahassee, Florida.
In parts of South Georgia and North Central Florida. We continue the threat for some tornadoes, but it looks like we've switched over to mostly a straight line damaging wind threat. So we still have the possibility for trees, power lines down, and some heavy rain.
Don Harrigan with the National Weather Service. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Maria Arnold with your look at traffic. On the inbound Kennedy at Ohio, word of a multi-vehicle crash. It has the Ohio exit blocked, but on the main line, traffic is heavy from Division. It's about 26 minutes into downtown from O'Hare. And on the outbound Dan Ryan, the exit to the outbound Stevenson is blocked with a crash. IDOT crews on scene with that. In Warrenville, there's an accident at Butterfield and Route 59. In Mount Prospect, an earlier accident with entrapment at Albert and Bussey. In Elgin, traffic signals malfunctioning at State and Highland. On the south side, police on scene at 81st and Muskegon. There's a Metra delay on the UP West line. Train number 518 is due in Chicago at 11:50. It's running 30 minutes late due to an earlier track obstruction. Chicago weather currently 52 degrees with light rain. Tomorrow with a high 60 with showers and breezy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
Most grocery stores lack that special something. So often you're disappointed for many reasons. High prices, no selection. Since when has going to the grocery store become displeasing? At Garden Fresh Market, you'll be pleasantly surprised all over again with your grocery shopping experience. From hand-picked produce and on-site butchers to premium seafood and popular brand named fare. At Garden Fresh Market, you'll get the best selection of every product you need. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Find a store near you at GardenFreshMarket.com.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. A deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit GardenFreshMarket.com to find a location near you.
I'm Steve Sitkowski, a former Wall Street insider. I'm holding a book that will show you investing strategies which could help you earn the kind of money you've always dreamed about. And right now, I'm giving this book away for free. So who needs to read it? If you're in the middle of your career and worry you'll never have enough money to retire, you need to read this book. If you're already retired and your income isn't enough, you need to read this book. And if you don't want to be selling burgers at 80, you need to read this free book. It includes the strategy I use to make a 72% profit on a trade where the stock only moved 12%. You'll need at least $1 million to ever fully retire. If you're behind on that goal, you really need to read Trade Like the Pros. And you can for free by calling 1-800-700-2114. Skeptical that it will deliver results? It's a free book, so what do you have to lose? Find out how at 1-800-700-2114. 1-800-700-2114.
AM 560, The Answer.
You are back with us in the crease, and I am your host, Kenny McCudden, with my guest, Harvey Wittenberg. Tonight is a history lesson on Chicago Blackhawk hockey. Harvey, what is the greatest thrill that you witnessed at Chicago Stadium and the biggest disappointment?
Well, the biggest disappointment was the seventh game against Montreal in 1971.
That's, which we touched upon.
Right. And, you know, there were so many thrills through the years. I mean, Bobby Hull's, you know, 500th goal I announced, and his 50th goal on a couple of occasions, and, you know, Stan Mikita's overall play. I just told John McDonough, he asked me about my all-time favorite players, you know, and I said, of all time, not only the Blackhawks, and I said, well, one pound for pound, Stan Mikita, in my book, is the best hockey player I've ever seen, pound for pound, because if he weighed 160, that was a lot.
Soaking wet.
Yep.
That's interesting. I brought that up to Jay Mikita last week because I was part of a dinner with Jean Beliveau about 7-8 years ago in Toronto, and he said the exact same thing. Pound for pound, Mikita was the best.
Yeah, because Beliveau was, what, 6'3"?
Correct.
And Stan, 5'10", maybe?
Yeah. The Chicago Stadium, Harvey, it was special with its bright red seats, the clock that most fans had difficulty reading, the stairs that led to the ice, and possibly the loudest building in North America, and the sound of Al Melgard on the organ. What did that building mean to you?
Well, the atmosphere, the only thing that came close to me in my, it was the first time I went to the Montreal Forum. You just walked into the building and it reeked hockey. And the old stadium you're right, the acoustics. I mean, Keith Magnus said the first time he played, I mean, he heard about it, and the first time he played a game and he came up that stairs and that deafening sound, you know, you could just set you back. Al Melgard, you know, the standing joke was who in the National Hockey League played for every team? And, of course, it was Al Melgard. He played the organ.
I like it. I like it. Talking about Keith Magnuson coming up those stairs, he would buzz around and the fans would go wild.
Yeah, Keith, incredible human being. I mean, such a tragic loss at an early age. I mean, here's a guy who skills did not have, but he gave you 200% every night. I mean, he was not a good skater. He certainly was not, you know,
He didn't have a shot.
They said he couldn't shoot the puck in the ocean. but, you know, the thing is that he came to play every night and just put it all out there every time. And he didn't win a lot of fights, but he would always stand up for his teammates. And the fans admired. I mean, the Blackhawks were considered a workman's team and a blue collar. And Keith certainly exemplified that. And he's just a fantastic human being. When my book came out the first time, I gave him a copy, and he read it, and 10 days later, the tragic auto accident took his life.
So. And you devoted maybe the first, what, 6-7 pages from the beginning of the book about Keith.
Yeah. Keith was, you know, I mean, again, I traveled with the team a few years before Keith joined the team, and I got friendly with him, and when his career ended, I still was on a friendly basis and talked to him, and I attended some of our alumni gatherings and things like that. So he was the heart and soul of the team.
He's number one on my list. In my 7 years in that locker room with the Blackhawks, Keith Magnuson meant more to me than anybody. The night he resigned, I was in the back room, and I knew we weren't going well, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and I knew he wasn't going to last long, and he says, I want you, Louie, and Skip in the room right now, and he's basically telling them that this was going to be his last game, and I'll never forget that. I shared that with Kevin Magnuson not too long ago, and Kevin had no idea about that story, but he was the heart and soul. He was the chief.
Right, and he stepped down on his own. Because the passion that he had for the game, he saw that the players weren't relating to that, and he felt it was time to move aside, and he told Pulford that, you know, he just can't get the job done.
I want to go back to Bobby Hull. You mentioned a few milestones of Robert Marvin Hull's career, with him scoring his 50 goals for the first time and the 51st. Talk about those days.
Well, you know, the excitement was building. It was funny. I was doing the play-by-play on the road the first year that he hit his 50th goal, and we were in, I was doing the broadcast against the Rangers in the Madison Square Garden, and John Ashley was the referee in that game. I'll never forget it. And Bobby Hull fired a blast. It was like 50-foot blast, and the puck was in the net, and that would have been number 50. But the red light never went on. Ashley had raised his hand, and they never called it. And then he came back to Chicago to get the 50th.
Amazing. And those games used to be stopped for some time, whether it be 10 or 15 minutes due to debris being on the ice, and maybe even an interview with Bobby Hull live on the ice.
Yeah, they just showered the ice with when he had hat tricks and Makita too and everything. That's the fans. I used to make the announcement before each game on the public address about throwing debris on the ice so you could identify somebody that could lead their arrest and conviction. The stadium will pay you a $100 reward.
You remember that like it's on the tip of your tongue. You have been listening to Harvey Wittenberg and your host, Kenny McCutton. We will be returning in a few minutes.
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Maria Arnold with your look at traffic on the outbound Kennedy at Division. Report of an accident blocking the two left lanes. On the inbound side of the Kennedy at Ohio, IDOT crews cleared a multi-vehicle crash, but we're still seeing some delays from Division. It's about 25 minutes to downtown from O'Hare. Outbound Dan Ryan, the exit to the outbound Stevenson had an accident. IDOT has cleared that. Inbound Dan Ryan at Taylor, IDOT crews cleared a crash from the right lane. In Warrenville, there's a crash at Butterfield and Route 59. In Mount Prospect, an earlier accident at Albert and Bussey. On the south side, police on scene at 81st and Muskegon. In Norridge, fire activity at Leonard and Argyle. In Romeoville, an earlier fire at the 700 block of Evergreen Court. Chicago weather currently 52 degrees with light rain. Tomorrow, the high 60 with showers and breezy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Most grocery stores lack that special something. So often you're disappointed for many reasons. High prices, no selection. Since when has going to the grocery store become displeasing? At Garden Fresh Market, you'll be pleasantly surprised all over again with your grocery shopping experience. From hand-picked produce and on-site butchers to premium seafood and popular brand named fare. At Garden Fresh Market, you'll get the best selection of every product you need. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Find a store near you at gardenfreshmarket.com.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
In 2002, a National Sleep Foundation poll found that 63% of women experience symptoms of insomnia at least a few nights per week. In my opinion, a major reason for insomnia is the Blue Card. It's a shopping and loyalty card, and it's free. That's right, free. No charge, nada. Next, you can receive up to 5% cash back on purchases. Most cards only offer 2% at most. No wonder girls can't sleep. With the Blue Card, you can also get shopping points that you could use use for online purchases, so it's cash back and shopping points. Am I keeping you awake? If you refer the Blue Card to someone, you could even earn money on their purchases. No, I'm serious. It's true. But it gets better. If you share the Blue Card with a merchant, you could earn on the purchases of everyone who uses the Blue Card at their store, too. There's no way you're going to get any sleep until you get your own free Blue Card. So call 800-685-7470 and order your free Blue Card so you can rest easy again. Call 800-685-7470.
AM 560, The Answer.
We are back and in the crease with Kenny McCudden and my guest Harvey Wittenberg. This portion of In the Crease is brought to you by some of the freshest food in Chicagoland. Garden Fresh Market. Choose from thousands of items that include your favorite name brands and the freshest hand-picked produce. Visit your local Garden Fresh Market and find out why Fresh is their middle name. Harvey, I'm going to go through a few names here as far as tandems that I believe that there's a span in between them, but there's a lot of similarities because they're great players. Glenn Hull, Tony Esposito, Stan Mikita, Dennis Savard. Very similar, though.
Yeah, the game has changed. I mean, it's silly to say the ice is faster now. The skates are better. The equipment's better. Glenn Hull, of course, phenomenal record that it will never be touched.
502 games?
Actually, it's 503.
Is that right?
He started. They kind of, you know, he didn't finish the 503 because he left with an injury and played all without a mask. And every Glenn would skip preseason exhibition games. The standing joke was he's painting the barn out in Calgary. But he came to play, and a phenomenal record. I mean, the fact that he started 503 games, finished 502.
And we're not counting playoffs either.
No, no. And so that record is going to stand. It's like DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak and things like that.
I think Mosienko is going to stay.
Mosienko, 21 seconds, three goals. And, of course, Gus Bodner got three assists in 21 seconds, too. And that was the last game of the season in New York. I didn't see it. There was only about 5,000 people there. And the Hawks won that game 7-6. It was meaningless because both the Rangers and the Hawks were not in the playoffs in that last regular season game.
You brought up a name, Gus Bodner. I believe he had the fastest goal on his first shot as a rookie in the 40s.
That could be. He had a real great career with Toronto. He was a real good playmaker and a good player. I happened to see him play, so I was fortunate.
Tony Esposito, 69-70, 15 shutouts in 1 year. I don't believe that's going to be broken either.
That's going to be a very tough record to break. Here's a rookie who, you know, had played like less than around 20 games, you know, with Montreal before the Hawks got a hold of him. And, you know, he just was a phenomenal. He was two different styles in Glenn Hull and Tony Esposito. And Glenn was a stand-up goalie. And the thing is that when the expansion came in and Scotty Bowman picked up Glenn Hull and Jacques Plante for St. Louis Blues, because Glenn kept threatening to retire each year, and Dennis DeJordy was considered the best goalie in the minor leagues, and he only dressed one goalie at that point before they put the backups in. So Tommy Evans made a decision, and he couldn't play games, and so he let Glenn go in the draft because you only could protect one goalie, and the expansion teams could get the second goalie.
I got a little story for you. I remember it might have been 83, maybe Tony's last year in 84. Andy Van Helleman came down in the room, and he told Tony in front of the dressing room, "Tony, you better get into another pair of pads because Al Arbor wants to call a penalty on you due to oversized pads." Well, Tony had a few choice words for Andy Van Helleman and threw him out. And the story goes, Tony takes off his pads. He calls me over, and I had to step on the sides of them to bring them in because they were so wide. I want to say they're supposed to be 11 inches. These were like 14 and a half. And while I was stepping on these to bring these pads in closer together, I said to Tony, "Do you realize, Tony, once you flop to your knees once, they're going to flare right back out again?" He ends up wearing those pads. No penalty called. Tony had a lot of control.
They would measure the pads. They started measuring the pads before the games. So that was the rule at that point.
And with Savard and Mikita, similarity in size, craftiness, not as chippy. You had Makita being a very chippy player and Savard not. One being a little bit faster, but both great centermen with playmaking.
Absolutely. I mean, the Hawks were so lucky to get Savard in the draft, and that was thanks to Réal Cloutier, who when the World Hockey Association folded and six teams joined the NHL, the Hawks had Cloutier as a draft choice, but he was a Quebec native. So Quebec wanted to keep Cloutier, and so it gave the Hawks their first-round pick, which was the third pick overall. Wayne Babich was taken by Winnipeg.
That's right.
And
Wickenheiser.
Doug Wickenheiser, an American hockey player, and not taking your hometown Dennis Savard.
I always wonder what Dennis Savard would have been like in Montreal. I think there would have been an awful lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Too much.
Yeah, right. Dennis was a little bigger than Stan, both great skaters, great passers, very just heads-up hockey. The game had gotten a lot faster since the days of Stan retired, and so it fit better into Savard's game.
Yeah, what did you think of, quickly, what did you think of Bobby Orr coming over for the short time and playing only 27 games? There was a lot of behind-the-scenes movement there between Boston and Chicago.
Well, Bobby Orr wanted to play, and Boston felt with he had just one good knee that they didn't want to wreck his career, so they didn't offer him a contract. He was a free agent, and so he came to the Hawks, and even on one leg, Bobby Orr was better than any of our defensemen.
Well, he came off a Canada Cup, a 76 Canada Cup, and he was MVP.
Right. So anyway, he played parts of two seasons. A lot of stories, and that and the Bobby Orr situation cost Billy Ray his job.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I've never heard it that way. The pink slip was because of that.
What happened was that the Hawks went into a 7-game winless streak, okay? The suggestion was made through Tommy Ivan and Bob Pulford that since Bobby Orr couldn't play, that he could assist Billy Ray, you know, in coaching. And, of course, there was only one coach in those days, and Billy Ray says, I don't need any coaches. Well, when your boss tells you you're not winning and you should take a little help, a note was slipped under his door 4 days before Christmas. Billy Ray was living in a Wirtz rental building at the time. So
we will be right back with Harvey Wittenberg.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. A deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit GardenFreshMarket.com to find a location near you.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
When our daughter Emma was born, we took a look at our credit card debt. It was not a good situation. We had been running up balances for quite some time, and it became a crisis. Finally, my wife Vicky said, call Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
We called them. They contacted all of our creditors. They stopped the collections calls. They got the interest reduced, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
We are now completely debt-free, and we will never be in the spot we were again, thanks to Trinity.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is John.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Emma.
And we're debt-free for keeps.
That's 1-800-990-6976.
AM 560, The Answer.
I am your host, Kenny McCudden, within the crease. My guest, Harvey Wittenberg, has seen decades of pro hockey on Madison Street. Harvey, what game do you like better, the past or today's?
Well, again, you can't measure. The game is so different now. I mean, I remember they experimented in 1970 on the offside pass. in the preseason games. And, of course, it finally got adopted 7 or 8 years ago, and they dropped the overtime, and then they brought the overtime back. So the game has changed. The arenas are all changed now. Like I say, the Chicago Stadium is, compared to the United Center, the United Stadium is 2.5 times the size of the old Chicago Stadium.
Yeah, the ice surface alone, 185 feet, I believe.
The old Boston Garden and the old Chicago Stadium and the original Madison Square Garden were all less than the regulation, and the Detroit Olympia was wider than regulation.
With very oval corners, strange corners.
Yeah.
Harvey, would you agree with me in the 80s, the fan base came back with the likes of Larmer, Secord, Savard, Wilson, Bannerman during that decade?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a downturn with the fan base after Bobby Hull left and disappointment in not winning the Cup. And the 80s came back, and like Dennis Savard would be the first one to tell you, if it wasn't for the Islanders won 4 cups in a row, which I don't know if you're ever going to see that again, and the emergence of the Gretzky-led Edmonton Oilers with a few other all-stars, that the Hawks in the 80s probably could have won 2 or 3 cups. And right at the end of the 80s, of course, Calgary snuck in there and won a cup.
And talking about two players there that I just mentioned, Larmer and Secord, I'd have to say they are two of the greatest wingers of all time in Blackhawk history.
Steve Larmer belongs in the Hall of Fame. I've told Steve that. I told his daughter that. He was a two-way hockey player, non-spectacular, and he played his off-wing.
That's right.
So, but he played a power play, penalty killing, and did it in a very unspectacular fashion. We used to call him Superman in the locker room because he got dressed and showered out of there before the press could come down and interview. He hated talking to the press.
Yeah, he was called Grandpa because he was quiet and just kept to himself. A little Steve Larmer story, exhibition game, his very first year. Louis Varga and myself forget to pack his skates. Mm-hmm. We get to Milwaukee. We're playing the Blues. And open up his bag, no skates. He uses a spare of Brian Sutter's. He scores 3 goals. And the problem was, Bob Pulford said, we're going to send him back to New Brunswick anyways. Orville Tessier says, no, I want to keep him. And he ends up scoring 3 goals. And then the history is, he's Rookie of the Year that year.
Yeah, and of course, he was drafted, the 9th round, where his buddy, Steve Ludzik, was like the 2nd round pick. And of course, and the thing is, Steve would have set the record for most games played if a certain coach named Mike Keenan hadn't set him down for 1 game.
Yeah. Harvey, tell me about the blog that you write today for the Chicago Blackhawks. I know you're heavily involved and you still love your history.
Well, I'm still involved with the Hawks. This is my 55th season. And I write a column about once a month called 1 Minute Remaining. And I do This Week in Hawk History, which sometimes it's published on the Blackhawk webpage, and sometimes it's just the information is picked up by the announcers in the press. So I'm happy. It's, you know, again, I try to come up with little different angles on stuff that you don't see every day. And hopefully I've got nice comments. I know the players tell me they like to read it. So to me, that's a compliment.
Are any of your lines trademarked? It'd be too much money, maybe.
No.
Have you thought about it?
No.
No, never?
No.
But when are you going to step into public addressing in the future?
Every once in a while I do a backup. They said they want to save me for special games and special occasions. Right now I'm doing the press box announcing for the media. And a couple games, Gene Hahn has lost his voice in the middle of the game, and they've asked me to move over from the press box to the PA.
So. Well, Harvey, it was a pleasure having you on the show. I want to thank my guest, Harvey Wittenberg, a voice that I will never forget from my childhood days within Chicago Stadium. So I appreciate that, Harvey. And I want to thank my terrific producer, Debbie Schreiner, for passing that puck all night. I am Kenny McCudden, and you can find me at icecompanyhockey.net. We will return within the crease next Sunday at 11 p.m. Keep your head up, and good night.
Most grocery stores lack that